Molecular Biology of the Cell, 3rd EDN, Part I. Molecular Genetics, Chapter 6. Basic Genetic Mechanisms. GNA Repair 16. Introduction. The long-term survival of a species may be enhanced by genetic changes, but the survival of the individual demands genetic stability. Maintaining genetic stability requires not only an extremely accurate mechanism for replicating the DNA before a cell divides, but also mechanisms for repairing the many accidental lesions that occur continually in DNA. Most such spontaneous changes in DNA are temporary, because they are immediately corrected by processes collectively called DNA repair. Only rarely do the cell's DNA maintenance processes fail and allow a permanent change in the DNA. Such a change is called a mutation, and it can destroy an organism if the change occurs in a vital position in the DNA sequence. Before examining the mechanisms of DNA repair, we briefly discuss the maintenance of DNA sequences from one generation to the next. GNA sequences are maintained with very high fidelity 17. The rate at which stable changes occur in DNA sequences, the mutation rate, can be estimated only indirectly. One way is to compare the amino acid sequence of the same protein in several species. The fraction of the amino acids that are different can then be compared with the estimated number of years since each pair of species diverged from a common ancestor, as determined from the fossil record. In this way, one can calculate the number of years that elapse, on average, before an inherited change in the amino acid sequence of a protein becomes fixed in a species. Because each such change will commonly reflect the alteration of a single nucleotide in the DNA sequence of the gene encoding that protein, this value can be used to estimate the average number of years required to produce a single, stable mutation in the gene. Such calculations always will substantially underestimate the actual mutation rate, because most mutations will spoil the function of the protein and vanish from the population through natural selection. But there is one family of proteins whose sequence does not seem to matter, and so the genes that encode them can accumulate mutations without being selected against. These proteins are the fibrinopeptides 20 residue long fragments that are discarded from the protein fibrinogen when it is activated to form fibrin during blood clotting. Since the function of fibrinopeptides apparently does not depend on their amino acid sequence, they can tolerate almost any amino acid change. Sequence analysis of the fibrinopeptides indicates that an average size protein 400 amino acids long would be randomly altered by an amino acid change roughly once every 200,000 years. More recently, DNA sequencing technology has made it possible to compare corresponding nucleotide sequences in regions of the genome that do not code for protein. Comparisons of such sequences in several mammalian species produce estimates of the mutation rate during evolution that are in excellent agreement with those obtained from the fibrinopeptide studies. The observed mutation rates in proliferating cells are consistent with evolutionary estimates 18. The mutation rate can be estimated more directly by observing the rate at which spontaneous genetic changes arise in a large population of cells followed over a relatively short period of time. This can be done either by estimating the frequency with which new mutants arise in very large animal populations, in a colony of fruit flies or mice, for example, or by screening for changes in specific proteins in cells growing in culture. Although they are only approximate, the numbers obtained in both cases are consistent with an error frequency of 1 base pair change and roughly 109 base pairs for each cell generation. Consequently, a single gene that encodes an average size protein containing about 103 coding base pairs would suffer mutation once in about 106 cell generations. This number is at least roughly consistent with the evolutionary estimate described above, in which one mutation appears in an average gene in the germline every 200,000 years. Most mutations in proteins are deleterious and are eliminated by natural selection 19. When the number of amino acid differences in a particular protein is plotted for several pairs of species against the time since the species diverged, the result is a reasonably straight line. That is, The longer the period since divergence, the larger the number of differences. For convenience, the slope of this line can be expressed in terms of the unit evolutionary time for that protein, which is the average time required for one amino acid change to appear in a sequence of 100 amino acid residues. When various proteins are compared, each shows a different but characteristic rate of evolution, figure 632. Since all DNA base pairs are thought to be subject to roughly the same rate of random mutation, these different traits must reflect differences in the probability that an organism with a random mutation over the given protein will survive and propagate. Changes in amino acid sequence are evidently much more harmful for some proteins than for others. From Table 6-2 we can estimate that about 6 of every 7 random amino acid changes are harmful over the long term in hemoglobin, about 29 of every 30 amino acid changes are harmful in cytochrome C, and virtually all amino acid changes are harmful in histone H4. We assume that individuals who carried such harmful mutations have been eliminated from the population by natural selection. Low mutation rates are necessary for life as we know it. 19. Since most mutations are deleterious, no species can afford to allow them to accumulate at a high rate in its germ cells. We discuss later why the observed mutation frequency, low though it is, nevertheless, is thought to limit the number of essential proteins that any organism can encode in its germline to about 60,000. By an extension of the same arguments, a mutation frequency tenfold higher would limit an organism to about 6,000 essential proteins. In this case, evolution would probably have stopped at an organism no more complex than a fruit fly. While germ cells must be protected against high rates of mutation in order to maintain the species, the other cells of a multicellular organism, its somatic cells, must be protected from genetic change to safeguard the individual. Nucleotide changes in somatic cells can give rise to variant cells, some of which, through a process of natural selection, grow rapidly at the expense of the rest of the organism. In the extreme case, the uncontrolled cell proliferation known as cancer results, which is responsible for about 30% of the deaths that occur in Europe and North America. These deaths are due largely to the accumulation of changes in the DNA sequences of somatic cells discussed in Chapter 24. A tenfold increase in the mutation frequency would presumably cause a disastrous increase in the incidence of cancer by accelerating the rate at which somatic cell variants arise. Thus, both for the perpetuation of a species with 60,000 proteins germ cell stability, and for the prevention of cancer resulting from mutations in somatic cell stability, eukaryotes depend on the remarkably high fidelity with which DNA sequences are maintained. Low mutation rates mean that related organisms must be made from essentially the same proteins. 20. Humans, as a genus distinct from the great apes, have existed for only a few million years. Each human gene has therefore had the chance to accumulate relatively few nucleotide changes since our inception, and most of these have been eliminated by natural selection. A comparison of humans and monkeys, for example, shows that their cytochrome C molecules differ in about 1%, and their hemoglobins in about 4% of their amino acid positions. Clearly, a great deal of our genetic heritage must have been formed long before Homo sapiens appeared, during the evolution of mammals, which started about 300 million years ago, and even earlier. Because the proteins of mammals as different as whales and humans are very similar, the evolutionary changes that have produced such striking morphological differences must involve relatively few changes in the molecules from which we are made. Instead, it is thought that the morphological differences arise from differences in the temporal and spatial pattern of gene expression during embryonic development, which then determine the size, shape, and other characteristics of the adult. At the end of Chapter 8, we discuss the mechanisms that are thought to underlie such evolutionary changes in gene expression. If left uncorrected, spontaneous DNA damage would rapidly change DNA sequences. 21. The physicist Erwin Schrödinger pointed out in 1945 that, whatever its chemical nature, at that time unknown, a gene must be extremely small and composed of few atoms. Otherwise, the very large number of genes thought to be necessary to generate an organism would not fit in the cell nucleus. On the other hand, because it was so small, a gene would be expected to undergo significant changes as a result of spontaneous reactions induced by random thermocollisions with solvent molecules. This poses a serious dilemma, since genetic data imply that genes are composed of a remarkably stable substance, in which spontaneous changes mutations occur rarely. This dilemma is real. DNA does undergo major changes as a result of thermal fluctuations. We now know, for example, that about 5,000 purine bases adenine and guanine are lost per day from the DNA of each human cell, because of the thermal disruption of their N-glycosyl linkages to deoxyribose depurination. Similarly, spontaneous deamination of cytosine to uracilin DNA is estimated to occur at a rate of 100 bases per genome per day, figure 633. DNA bases are also subject to change by reactive metabolites, including reactive forms of oxygen that can alter their base-bearing abilities, and by ultraviolet light from the sun, which promotes a covalent linkage of two adjacent pyrimidine bases in DNA forming. For example, the thymine dimers shown in figure 634b. These are only a few of many changes that can occur in our DNA, figure 634a. Most of them would be expected to lead either to deletion of one or more base pairs in the daughter DNA chain after DNA replication, or to a base pair substitution. Each CU deamination, for example, would eventually change a CG base pair to a TA base pair, since U closely resembles T and forms a complementary base pair with A. As we have seen, a high rate of such random changes would have disastrous consequences for an organism. The stability of genes depends on DNA repair. 22. Despite the thousands of random changes created every day in the DNA of a human cell by heat energy and metabolic accidents, only a few stable changes mutations accumulate in the DNA sequence of an average cell in a year. We now know that fewer than 1 in 1,000 accidental base changes in DNA causes a mutation. The rest are eliminated with remarkable efficiency by DNA repair. There are a variety of repair mechanisms, each catalyzed by a different set of enzymes. Nearly all of these mechanisms depend on the existence of two copies of the genetic information, one in each strand of the DNA double helix. If the sequence in one strand is accidentally changed, information is not lost irretrievably, because a complementary copy of the altered strand remains in the sequence of nucleotides in the other strand. The basic pathway for DNA repair is illustrated schematically in figure 635. As indicated, it involves three steps. 1. The altered portion of a damaged DNA strand is recognized and removed by enzymes called DNA repair nucleases, which hydrolyze the phosphodiester bonds that join the damaged nucleotides to the rest of the DNA molecule, leaving a small gap in the DNA helix in this region. 2. Another enzyme, DNA polymerase, binds to the 3-ohio end of the cut DNA strand and fills in the gap by making a complementary copy of the information stored in the good template strand. 3. The break or nick in the damaged strand left when the DNA polymerase has filled in the gap is sealed by a third type of enzyme, DNA ligase, which completes the restoration process. Both DNA polymerase and DNA ligase have important general roles in DNA metabolism. Both function in DNA replication as well as in DNA repair, for example. The reactions that these two enzymes catalyze are illustrated in figures 636 and 637, respectively. DNA damage can be removed by more than one pathway. 23. The details of the excision step in DNA repair depend on the type of damage. Depurination, for example, which is by far the most frequent lesion that occurs in DNA, leaves a deoxyribose sugar with a missing base. See figure 633. This exposed sugar is rapidly recognized by the enzyme-associated press endonuclease, which cuts the DNA phosphodiester backbone at the 5-side of the altered site. After excision of the sugar phosphate residue by a phosphodiesterase enzyme, an undamaged DNA sequence is restored by DNA polymerase and DNA ligase. See figure 635. A related repair pathway, called base excision repair, involves a battery of enzymes called DNA glycosylases. Each DNA glycosylase recognizes an altered base in DNA and catalyzes its hydrolytic removal. There are at least six types of these enzymes, including those that remove deaminated CS, deaminated AS, different types of alkylated or oxidized bases, bases with open rings, and bases in which a carbon-carbon double bond has been accidentally converted to a carbon-carbon single bond. As an example of the general mechanism that operates in all cases, the removal of a deaminated C by uracil DNA glycosylase is shown in Figure 638a. The DNA glycosylase reaction produces a deoxyribose sugar with a missing base. Because this sugar phosphate is the same substrate recognized by the associated press endonuclease, the subsequent steps in the repair process proceed in the same way as for depurinated sites. The importance of removing accidentally deaminated DNA bases has been directly demonstrated. In mutant bacteria that lack the enzyme uracil DNA glycosylase, the normally low spontaneous rate of change of a CG to a TA base pair is increased about 20-fold. Cells have a separate nucleotide excision repair pathway capable of removing almost any type of DNA damage that creates a large change in the DNA double helix. Such bulky lesions include those created by the covalent reaction of DNA bases with large hydrocarbons such as the carcinogen benzopyrene, as well as the various pyrimidine dimers TT, TC, and CC caused by sunlight. In these cases, a large multi-enzyme complex scans the DNA for a distortion in the double helix rather than for a specific base change. Once a bulky lesion is found, the phosphodiester backbone of the abnormal strand is cleaved on both sides of the distortion, and the portion of the strand containing the lesion and oligonucleotide is peeled away from the DNA double helix by a DNA helicase enzyme discussed later. The gap produced in the DNA helix is then repaired in the usual manner by DNA polymerase and DNA helicase, Figure 638b. The importance of these repair processes is indicated by the large investment that cells make in DNA repair enzymes. A comprehensive genetic analysis of a yeast suggests that these cells contain more than 50 different genes that code for DNA repair functions. DNA repair pathways are likely to be at least as complex in humans. Individuals with the genetic disease xerodermapigmentosum, for example, are defective in a nucleotide excision repair process that can be shown by genetic analysis to require at least 7 different gene products. Such individuals develop severe skin lesions, including skin cancer, because of the accumulation of pyrimidine dimers in cells that are exposed to sunlight. Cells can produce DNA repair enzymes in response to DNA damage. 24. Cells have evolved a number of mechanisms to help them survive in a hazardous world. Often an extreme environmental insult activates a battery of genes, whose products protect the cell from its effects. One such mechanism shared by all cells is the heat shock response, which is evoked by the exposure of cells to unusually high temperatures. The induced heat shock proteins include some that are thought to help stabilize and repair partially denatured cell proteins, see Figure 529. Many cells also have mechanisms that enable them to synthesize DNA repair enzymes as an emergency response to severe DNA damage. The best studied example is the SOS response in E. coli. In this bacterium, any block to DNA replication caused by DNA damage produces a signal thought to be an excess of single-stranded DNA that induces an increase in the transcription of more than 15 genes, many of which code for proteins that function in DNA repair. The signal first activates the E. coli recop protein discussed later, which then destroys a negatively acting gene regulatory protein or repressor that normally suppresses the transcription of the entire set of SOS response genes. Studies of mutant bacteria deficient in different parts of the response indicate that the newly synthesized proteins have two effects. First, as would be expected, the induction of new DNA repair enzymes increases cell survival. When the mutants deficient in this part of the SOS response are treated with a DNA-damaging agent such as ultraviolet radiation, an unusually high proportion of them die. Second, several of the induced proteins transiently increase the mutation rate by greatly increasing the number of errors made in copying DNA sequences. While this has little effect on short-term survival, it is presumably advantageous in the long term because it produces a burst of genetic variability in the bacterial population and hence increases the chance that a mutant cell with increased fitness will arise. The DNA repair system activated in the SOS response is not the only inducible DNA repair system known. Bacteria have another system that is activated specifically by the presence of methylated nucleotides in DNA, and there is at least one inducible DNA repair system in yeast cells. Some higher eukaryotic cells have been reported to adapt to DNA damage in similar ways. The structure and chemistry of the DNA double helix make it easy to repair 25. The DNA double helix seems to be optimally constructed for repair. As discussed in Chapter 1, RNA is thought to have evolved before DNA, and it seems likely that the genetic code was initially carried in the four nucleotides A, C, G, and U. This raises the question of why the U in RNA has been replaced in DNA by T, which is 5-methyl-U. We have seen that spontaneous C-deamination converts C to U, but that this event is rendered harmless by uracil DNA glycosylase, see Figure 638a. One can imagine how any repair enzyme designed to recognize and excise such accidents would be confused by the norm of U nucleotides in a U-containing DNA molecule. Thus it is not surprising that U is not used in DNA. This line of argument is strengthened by the observation that every possible deamination event in DNA yields an unnatural base, which can therefore be directly recognized and removed by a specific DNA glycosylase. Hypoxanthine, for example, is the simplest purine base capable of pairing specifically with C, but hypoxanthine is the direct deamination product of A. The addition of a second amino group to hypoxanthine produces G, which cannot be formed from A by spontaneous deamination, and whose deamination product is likewise unique, figure 639a. A special situation occurs in vertebrate DNA, where selected C nucleotides are methylated at specific CG sequences associated with an active genes discussed in Chapter 9. As illustrated in Figure 639b, the accidental deamination of these methylated C nucleotides produces the natural nucleotide T, which forms a mismatched base pair with a G on the opposite DNA strand. To help protect methylated C nucleotides against such mutations, a special DNA glycosylase recognizes a mismatched base pair involving T in the sequence TG and removes the T. This DNA repair mechanism must be relatively ineffective. However, as methylated C nucleotides are common sites for mutations in vertebrate DNA, even though only about 3% of the C nucleotides in human DNA are methylated, mutations in these methylated nucleotides account for about 1/3 of the single base mutations that have been observed in inherited human diseases, see also Figure 971. Whereas the chemistry of the bases ensures that deamination will be detected, accurate repair, and the fundamental answer to Schrödinger's dilemma depends on the existence of separate copies of the genetic information in the two strands of the double helix. Only in the very unlikely event that both strands are damaged simultaneously at the same base pair is the cell left without one good copy to serve as a template for DNA repair. Even in this case, mechanisms have evolved that are sometimes able to repair the damage. These repair mechanisms require that a second DNA helix of the same sequence be present in the cell, and they use genetic recombination mechanisms to transfer the missing information from one DNA helix to another, a process called gene conversion, which we discuss later. Genetic information is stored in single-stranded DNA or RNA molecules only in some very small viruses with genomes of a few thousand nucleotides. The types of repair processes that we have described cannot operate on such nucleic acids, and the chance of a nucleotide change occurring in these viruses is very high. It seems that only organisms with tiny genomes can afford to encode their genetic information in a structure other than a DNA double helix. Summary. The fidelity with which DNA sequences are maintained in higher eukaryotes can be estimated from the rates at which changes have occurred in non-essential protein and DNA sequences over evolutionary time. This fidelity is so high that a mammalian germline cell with a genome of 3109 base pairs is subjected on average to only about 10 to 20 base pair changes per year. But unavoidable chemical processes damage thousands of DNA nucleotides in a typical mammalian cell every day. Genetic information can be stored stably in DNA sequences only because a large variety of DNA repair enzymes continuously scan the DNA and replace the damaged nucleotides. The process of DNA repair depends on the presence of a separate copy of the genetic information in each strand of the DNA double helix. An accidental lesion on one strand can therefore be cut out by a repair enzyme, and a good strand resynthesized from the information in the undamaged strand. Most of the damage to DNA bases is excised by one of two major pathways. In base excision repair, an altered base is removed by a DNA glycosylase enzyme, followed by excision of the resulting sugar phosphate. In nucleotide excision repair, a small region of the strand surrounding the damage is removed from the DNA helix as an oligonucleotide. In both cases, the small gap left in the DNA helix is filled in by the sequential action of DNA polymerase and DNA ligase.